Marina, tab 8.
Tab 8, huh?
Yes.
Ways to go.
Oh no, we've been jumping all over the place. Don't worry about it. We're almost done.
We're sure we'll be here, definitely midnight for sure.
Well, thank you for calling me in there. Not 9 o'clock.
Well, we might call you back with a question.
I might not answer.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Do you want to give us an overview, or do you want to walk us through the numbers first? How do you want to start?
Whatever you guys want.
I think an overview is usually good, and then we dive into the numbers. Kind of just tell us where you think we're at and where we need to be going.
Sure.
I mentioned to him that we might be talking about expansion and stuff like that.
Yep. Okay. We were able to make the numbers balance again without any draw off the general fund, which includes under the revenue side grant funds from the DNR, and on the expenditure side, the first phase of the expansion of the new break wall to the tune of total $480,000 with an additional $63,000 in engineering. So our portion of that commitment is going to be about $260,000, give or take a few dollars. The only thing that changed quite a bit actually in revenue were the transient fees. A lot of that is just weather dependent. I mean, the boating traffic is what it is, and you have a few not so nice weekends in a row, and it can make a difference. And the only thing that I questioned just a little bit, and I went through it and made some adjustments, but the one water revenues were up more than I thought they would be, and ours were down a little. So I don't know if maybe, you know, the staff at the marina, when they're allocating the funds through PayPal, if maybe they coded it wrong. Like I said, I went through and we were able to catch a few things and make those adjustments. But I don't know if that comes into play a little bit or not.
What is the Kruger and the
County Pack? Those are two slips over at the One Water Marina that are individually owned, not owned by the development, but they still rent them in the rental pool.
Does everybody know about how we run the One Water Marina? I mean, you talked early on in the session about doing some public-private partnerships. I mean, I'd love telling the story about, you know, how we ran, basically took a private operation and the public sector's running it rather than the reverse, which is what you mostly hear about privatization. We publicized it, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So, but there's less and less of that going forward.
Right. Unless you're running more arrangements like these two individuals, would they like to have the income from the stuff?
Correct. Bob Conypack, he's never been to Boyne City. This was an investment that he had with Greg Kruger and just kind of inherited it. And I'm sure he'll sell it at some point in time when he feels that the economy is right. But yeah, he has no interest in doing anything with the slip, and he said it's a good arrangement to just let us take care of it, and he just gets a check at the end of the season, and he's happy with that. And the same with Judy Kruger. There are more of those slips that have went into the individual private hands, either by private sale of the slip alone or slips that have sold with the units. So far, out of all of those, we only have one individual who is considering putting theirs in the rental pool. So last year, while I think we rented probably about 15 of the slips, this year we don't have that. We've got like 7 that we will operate for them. I shouldn't say that. There's actually more than that. Some of the slips, the development has made some deals with, so they will be rented. It'll still go through us. The deal's kind of already been made, but it'll still go through us and we'll still manage it. But more business is operating out of there. We have a yacht broker who is renting two slips. Tommy's from Walloon, they're taking a couple of the slips. And then Josh and Michael, who have the rentals over there now, are expanding. They own slips 1 and 2, have rented 3 and 4 in the past. This year, they're talking about renting 3, 4, and 5, and then potentially purchasing 3 and 4 at the end of the season from Glenn. Mm-hmm. So I would say this, it's possible that this is our last year of operating One Water, this coming year. We'll just see how it goes. But as you know, Glenn will always have to do something. He'll have to have, the association will have to have some type of management over there, just as far as the cleaning, the upkeep, the maintenance and things. At some point, it's not going to make sense for it to be us. And Cat Development will not be the main shareholder at some point in time, as more of those slips become individually owned. So that's the scoop with One Water.
It's a $43,000 in sponsorships that didn't happen before.
That did not happen, correct? Yeah. And that was the extension that was put on our docks that Boyne Thunder and Main Street paid for.
Oh.
And I had put that number in here because I thought the funds were going to pass through, that you know they would transfer the funds into the marina account, the marina would pay flotation docking, and it just came straight from the Boyne Thunder and Main Street funds and didn't pass through the marina funds. So that's all that is. No money, no money in, no money out.
Who allowed that office to be built there for Josh and Michael?
Their association, or Glenn, or you know whatever their arrangement was. The little floating office.
Yeah. Doesn't really fit, but.
I talked to Scott when that first went up, and he had a real question about whether that fell under our zoning jurisdiction. Yeah. Or could somebody have just floated a houseboat in there, and you'd basically be faced with the same thing. Visually.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it really helps them out. I mean, it's a good thing for them.
I've heard both aesthetically. Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah. They're hanging in there.
Yeah, and expanding, so good for them. It'll be interesting with Tommy's having two slips in rentals right there as well. But they seem
to do rentals out there, rentals and competition right across the dock, huh?
Yeah, but they seem to think that it's a different clientele with their wake boats and things like that. Mm-hmm. They don't think that it's direct competition. So, but that's a deal that Glenn made with Tommy's. And it is what it is. They're paying rent just like everyone else. So I did request that Tommy's add the city as additional insured for liability purposes, being there. It's a business being run, not just an individual boater. So we did that.
So you'll have people coming in there and renting craft just like the other rental facility does?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. That might put some more pressure with regards. One of the issues that we had on that was that sometimes their clients will park at the end of Water Street and tie up some of that commercial, tie up some of that parking area where we'd prefer it to be available for some of the businesses in that area. And they're supposed to try and direct people to the back lot. I don't know if that'll be an issue or not.
Did it get posted to our parking?
Yes. Portions of it did, not all of it.
But at the end of One Water, did it?
Yeah, portions of the end of One Water did. I'm trying to remember which side it was.
I think the side next to the building.
I have to take a look.
Yeah, there's a couple weeks and a few key weekends that parking is tough there.
It may be simpler if Michigan Community Dental Clinic, or my Community Dental Clinic, as they now call it, has vacated their office space by then. So.
Are they moving? I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yep. Yeah, they're moving to over by Bay Harbor.
Oh, and that little mall there?
That's what I've heard, somewhere in that area. Yeah.
Is Glenn have that rented upstairs then?
Yes, for the next 2 years. By them. They are on the hook for rent for 2 years, yes. For my community dental clinic, we'll have to pay the rent on it.
Oh, right.
The current tenant.
Yeah, it'll, so it'll be empty, but you're still paying rent?
Unless you sell leases or something of that nature, or they work out some type of a deal to get it back.
You know, just like 7 months, that's the same thing. I'm sure they got a long-term lease, so that's why they had to sell it, because you'd be on the hook for the lease. That's why you sell leases, or not sell, but sign leases.
Yeah, I would think with the level of custom improvements that Glenn put in for that facility.
I bet you it's pricey.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any questions about any specific line items?
Of the revenues or anything?
Anything.
Well, the $500,000 capital outlays, is that the 10 years?
And a little extra. The attenuators, what did I say, 180,000 approximately.
And dock renovations.
We haven't been out yet. But yeah, and then, you know, I always have a little extra in there because I don't know how those bids will come in. There's talk about, in fact, I just got an email before I came back up here. Antrim County has some concrete slabs that they used for a boat launch down between Norwood and Eastport on Lake Michigan, and it didn't work out because of the location. The slabs wouldn't stay in place, and it ended up being a hazard. And so it sounds like they are willing to give them to us, but we have to pay for the removal and to have them brought here. So I left a little money for that project if that comes through. I don't know what that cost is going to be to have them pulled out of the lake and hauled here. So I did leave a little extra money. And then, again, without until we bid that project out, I have the engineer's estimate to base the funds on, the expenses on. I know that there's only a couple companies that can bid on it, so that kind of narrows down the bidding field. And I know that they seem to be quite busy, so I just don't have a good feel if bids will come in high or like we anticipated.
And where would you use them?
Oh, the slabs? We don't have an exact plan. We talked about, you know, potentially extending the small boat launch just a little bit, so they could potentially be used there. If we ever do any type of expansion of the main boat launch and we're able to put in another lane or something, they could go there. Right now, for the main boat launch, we've got the concrete pad and then it goes to steel plates. I don't know if it would ever make sense to replace the steel plates with concrete, but I thought that if the cost was right for removal and to get them here, it made sense to nab them.
Is there going to be any repairs to the main boat launch? We talked about it.
I don't really have any money budgeted for that. And if you look at the budget, I mean, at the end of the day, if all my numbers come in as predicted, I might have $8,000 left in my fund balance out of the projected this year, having a balance of $254,501. We'll take that all the way down to $8,000.
Tom, were there any specific repairs you were thinking of at the main boat launch?
No, it seems like we talked about that, or someone talked about that it wasn't performing correctly. That it was.
Wasn't it repaired a year or two ago, though?
We made some improvements to the way we can pull it in and out easier. We've done some pothole paving and things like that.
Patching of the pavement.
Yeah. It seems like
it lasts a little while.
Seems like the grade, the cement, something.
Well, that's been discussed, but that's a full renovation. That's cutting all of that out and re-excavating. Okay. And it would make sense to do that if we start looking at putting in a new lane and tearing all of that up.
That's what I'm thinking of. But you're right, major expense.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, unless there's questions about specific line items, that could kind of take me right into my next conversation.
What's that?
One of the things that I brought to Mike's attention is with the boat launch, we've got this fee structure that we don't charge city residents, and then everyone else pays either $7 a day or $35 for a seasonal pass. And the basis has always been, at least expressed to me, that city residents get the free pass because they pay taxes, etc. But if the marina or the boat launch doesn't draw off the general fund, we're not getting that tax that is, you know, people are foregoing their payment because they're saying their tax dollars are paying for it. Their tax dollars aren't necessarily paying for it if we're not getting any contribution from the general fund. I counted up how many free passes we give away on an average. It's about 250. And if you multiply that, if every one of those free passes equated to $35 for the seasonal, which I know not everybody would buy one, it's almost $9,000. So even if you took and cut that number in half of people that would buy seasonal passes or pay the daily or whatever, you know, it's still several thousand dollars. And the boat launch doesn't make a lot of money. We forego that money of all the free passes. It's really difficult to make plans to do major renovations when it doesn't make that type of revenue. I mean, we'll never be able to do a $250,000 project at the boat launch to put in new lanes, take that grade down, expand the parking, et cetera. And what do we make in revenue? $15,000 to $16,000 a year. And that does not include any staff wages or anything like that coming out of that. We don't have an expense side for the launch. So if you take the $16,000 that it brings in, and if you really started to subtract wages and maintenance and stuff out of that, it wouldn't make hardly anything, a few thousand a year.
If that.
And so it's difficult to think about ever taking on a project, but yet it seems like that's something the community asked for, improvements at the boat launch.
My first impression is versus the good feeling that people have about being able to use the marina free because I'm a citizen. Something like I get something for my taxes.
And I think a nuance that no general fund dollars are used, it would be lost on nearly all residents. We'd have a hard time distinguishing, you know, tax dollars in general from the general fund and what it goes to and doesn't go to. So, yeah, so we agree that residents, we garner goodwill, which has a value, just by giving citizens something that they feel is of value.
It does.
It distinguishes them from somebody else, you know, who doesn't live in
this. Right.
Now, $35 is spending a lot of money.
Right.
But on the other hand, it does represent something that they would perceive as valuable.
But if the marina wants to be treated, or the commission wants the marina to be treated as an enterprise fund where it funds itself, it's difficult to say fund yourself but give things away for free. But I mean, the water, wastewater, they don't give discounts for city residents. They don't.
So residents outside of the city who have wastewater pay significant more.
Well, should we revisit the discussion about whether or not we think the marina should, you know, be an enterprise fund and the value that it brings to the community and is different than water and wastewater, for sure.
I mean, that's certainly a discussion that should happen here, start happening. It's not something we're going to change overnight.
No,
I didn't propose a resident fee in this upcoming budget, but I think it's a discussion that we need to have if you think that we're ever going to make improvements down there. We need to figure out how, because it's not going to come from the people paying the $7 a day. And there are some grant opportunities, but with grants, you have to have the match.
I think you want to be real careful on that, and Barb and I were talking about that, and we thought we should get this out on the table. The money that we would generate with regards to collecting fees for the resident passes, I mean, it's, you know, whether it's $9,000 or some fraction thereof, isn't really going to make or break what I think are the big issues with regards to the expansion of the marina. So we're looking at a $500,000, $480,000 improvement for this first set of wave attenuators now. That won't help us this season at all, because it won't come in until the earliest in the fall. So there's no revenue that'll be generated off of it. It really doesn't have any standing. This first section isn't a revenue generator per se.
Neither is the second section. Unfortunately, we can't really expand much in the marina as far as slips without expanding the protection first.
Yeah. So one of the things I talked to the commission about is the ability for us to either help as a allow you to bond out revenue bonds like Roger City did at some point, where the city stands behind them as kind of a guarantor to help you get the finances for it, assuming that over time revenues through the marina could pay that off, and we would just kind of be in the background to allow this financing for. So all these phases, how much is the total, the project estimated at this point to
it's
build?
It's probably going to be close, it, including the current phase that we're taking on, we're going to be close to $4
million. Okay.
For a full build-out, but there's not anything that says we have to go with the full build-out before we can start getting slips.
Okay. So in the phasing...
I should add, the full build-out also includes replacement of the slips that are in there, which has to happen whether we ever expand or not.
Yeah. So we talked about the possibility of somehow the city standing in the background with regards to financing, with regards to it. Another option could be the city does make some contributions with regards to funding the marina, with regards to some type of community benefit. That could be used as a justification for offsetting, for allowing the free passes. You know, we gave something to the community, but we're also helping to finance it. That could be another mechanism to it. That would be a flip from the position that the commission took a number of years ago, basically saying, you know, we're not going to build a marina on the backs of the residents or people that don't use it. It was kind of a commitment the commission made at that time, several commissioners ago, with regards to it, that this was going to stand on its own. Financially backing it with the plan that the marina will ultimately pay it off doesn't violate or challenge that commitment per se. Another way to slice and dice the issue with regards to the free resident pass, but deal with what Barb is saying, is the commission could behind the scenes basically say, we're going to pay for those passes. We're going to pay for those, you know, for each one that a citizen pays, and I'm assuming this, I guess we'd have to check the legality of it. I don't know if there's a mechanism where the city, general fund could just backfeed the marina
sure.
that amount every year to offset that charge. So then, you know, the marina's getting the money that it needs more so for all those boat launches. And the residents are still getting the free passes with regards to it. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking that there might be a legal issue with regards to that, but we'd have
to check. Just allocate money to from the fund balance to it and make it informal.
You wouldn't have to say it's a quid pro quo.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, we're going to make a $10,000 contribution to the marina every year because we think it's the right thing to do.
Correct.
Another thing to keep in mind is that the marina basically oversees the Shoppers Dock, even though there is no revenue coming with regards to that. It's kind of a community expectation that that is going to be maintained. And it's kind of, you know, Barb smiles at me every now and then and says, you know, why am I maintaining this? You know, we get no revenue for it. And it's, you know, there is some Shoppers Dockage that takes place there. But again, that's not a revenue generator. It doesn't help the marina operations per se. It helps the community in the downtown with regard to encouraging visitors to come to our community as well. So I think there's a couple things we wanted to plant the seeds on today to get us thinking about them. As Barb says, she can get through this first phase, but then with the money that she has on hand, but she can't do the second phase, and we're not going to want to wait, you know, 10 years or something like that to build up the money to do the second phase. We'll never get that done. And with the one water marina coming off offline in the near future, you know, whether it's next season or the season after that. And while it's coming offline, it's having diminishing value every year. We're losing a real asset that has helped the downtown and the community become more of a boater's destination over the last, as long as that marina has been up and running, since Glenn opened it.
Yeah. Even this year, with us operating it, because there are so few slips, and you know, a number of them are already accounted for business operations, the handful of slips that I have left are going to be seasonal renters, so it doesn't even help alleviate any of the transient traffic over the 4th of July or you know, any other busy weekends. I couldn't bring in a large event like, what was it, 5 years ago or so when I had the Wallstrom Marine Group come in. I can't bring a group like that in anymore.
So where are you gonna put this pirate event that's taking place from?
We've talked about that.
It only ends up being one ship. They sink all the others, I think.
Scuttle them or whatever.
We start with three ships. We'll
that's
see
what I...
how many actually stay floating. Right.
Isn't it the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria? Yeah, the three ships.
Stories mixed up.
Yeah.
Have you done any estimates of what it would take in terms of fees from new slips to pay off?
We've got numbers, but they would really need to be updated. Those are numbers that we ran back when we thought we were moving forward full steam ahead. I don't know, what's that been, 8 years ago?
You're going from 40-some slips to how many? 90-some?
Full build-out?
Let me see, 40, we'll go from 42 to, I believe, actual slips would be around 86, but that doesn't include a lot of broadside tie-up that's going to be available.
Gain of 40, let's say.
Gain of 40, but when I talk about broadside, we're talking about several hundred feet of broadside.
Right.
That, you know, vessels can tie up to.
Gain of 40, whatever.
It'll be double and then some.
Yeah.
So I think our task in the next, you know, 6 months or a year, probably before a year, is to kind of flesh out some of these options and come back to you and have a further discussion about, okay, how are we going to fund the next phases of this? Do we use some of our bonding capacity or our credit lines or what am I thinking of? Credit rating to help the marina get through this.
So there's grant funding out there. It's 50%. I can apply each and every year for funding for a phase. So we applied and received it last year. I did not apply this year because I have no money to match it or back it. But if we had a plan in place and the money was there that we could pull it when we needed it, I could apply for a grant each year and take on a new phase each year over the next 4 or 5 years and be done. Because I don't think that we would necessarily want to go for a full build out at one time and leave all that grant money there.
Well, but will they do half of $4 million?
No.
No.
They don't have that kind of money. The state just doesn't have
that. I was gonna ask, what's their current desire with regards to projects? They used to really want to do really big projects and they went small, or where are they at now?
They went smaller. Basically, it's kind of like if you think about how the DNR Parks and Rec grants work, how, for example, like Recreation Passport, here's all of the projects that they're approving for funding, and that gets approved as one lump sum item written in the legislation. And then when you get into like the Natural Resources Trust Fund, those become individual line items. The larger projects, like our acquisition, for example. So it's the same thing with the waterway side. He has projects and there's no magic number because they don't know from year to year how much money they'll have in the pot and how much applications equal the dollars. So like when I applied last year and asked for $260,000, he said I was borderline of being lump sum or going into line item, and they managed to keep it into lump sum. So when it's lump sum, it gets a, so we apply by April 1, I usually know by May, and at the Waterways Commission meeting in May, and then I usually have a grant agreement in place in June. If it goes line item and gets bumped up here, then it has to go through all the legislation, and then I wouldn't know until December and so on and so forth. But there's no, 260 isn't the cutoff, it just happened to be that it fell borderline the last time. It could be 400,000 and be borderline this year. So there's no magic number.
Got it.
Paul said that I just have to give it, you know, my best guess at what we really need and just throw it in the hat, and he just sees where it falls.
But you need the full marinas to start generating revenue.
Not necessarily the full build out, but we need more,
more
than breakwall.
Yes.
And the first couple phases is just breakwall.
Yes.
And I mean, I can run and grab the plan if that helps anybody visualize it.
I think that'd be a, I think that'd be better at a separate discussion where we have some numbers and some plans as saying, here's what we would propose to the commission as a plan of attack with regards to the phasing, the timing, what we would need in the way of cash on each phase, and when we start seeing some revenues coming in. Because as we do the first section, you know, where we start putting some more docks in, that'll start increasing revenues, but that won't be maximized until we do the final phase. But you might not need to do the final phase if there isn't the demand.
Right.
Why do the final phase if you haven't filled the, you know,
right.
If all of a sudden we're up to 50 slips or something like that, we're not renting any more than that.
Right.
Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right. And like I said, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, part of that overall renovation is, or expansion is renovating the current slips that are in there. And that really does have to happen at some point sooner or later. So we have to spend money.
Just to maintain what we've got.
Regardless.
Yes.
Because what we have is, for the most part, beyond repair. The repairs that we're doing, we know that it's only buying us a year or 2 years on these patches and repairs or replacements of, you know, one finger type of thing. So that's going to happen regardless.
Do you know how much that estimate is?
I don't. I don't. I could probably kind of figure it out by pulling that section of the overall expansion out.
And do we want to repair them? Because a lot of those sections don't fit into the new plan, do they?
The repairs that we're proposing to do that are in this budget are what it needs to stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing for repairs.
Yeah.
Doing just what has to happen to stay afloat, or replacing, you know, deck boards and things that are rotted. I'm sure that you've probably heard a lot of talk about the electric shock drowning and all of the state codes and stuff that are changed. So our marina is way out of whack as far as codes for electrical. It's there, it's currently safe. However, it really needs to be brought up to code.
To the current standards.
To the current standards, which is...
That doesn't generate any new revenue.
Again, it's ever-changing, the codes are ever-changing, but, you know, if you think about those docks that were, they were put in back in the 80s and 90s, and nothing has been upgraded with those other than repairs that has been needed to stay afloat.
Would this be something that this financial, you know, projections we're doing would be helpful in seeing to plug those numbers, the estimates of the marina and being done in a
in some respects, that one almost seems like it stands alone.
Be separate.
It almost does.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, the risk for the general funds and stuff like that would be if we did
the bonding, and
if for some reason we had to bail them out for a few years like they had to do in Rogers City,
right.
You know, if their revenue projections didn't keep up with what they estimated. Again, and that would be a loan, it wouldn't be
right.
Forgiven. At least that, assume that's what it would, how it would be phrased. So, I mean, it's something we need to keep on our horizon.
Yeah.
And I guess it all depends on what other projects we're thinking of, Hugh. If there's anything else we wanted to use our bonding or something, financing capacity with regards to, we, you know, if we had, if we want, let's say we, for some reason, we wanted to take on some capital improvement. We wanted to curb and gutter every street in town, let's say. And we wanted to borrow a couple $1 million to do that. Well, then we bump up against something. Right now we have lots of capacity, but.
Yeah, one thing that's always kind of concerned me with the Berea too is what we do about parking and how it relates to Veterans Park. And, you know, it's busy already, and then are we going to have cars all over the place just for the marina? And have we thought that through yet? It's always been a concern of mine.
Well, that kind of ties back to some of the discussions we've had over by the main boat launch with regards to, okay.
The property across the street.
Yep, yep. And I've reached out a couple times on that, and they haven't called me back recently after expressing a bunch of interest, so I don't know if they got some other vision for that or not.
Well, it seems to me it's a really important thing to try to figure out.
It is. It's
can we have
more easy answers?
A work session, or is that an appropriate
thing? I would think it might be at some point in the future. I think we have. I think we got to gather some data and have a discussion on this.
Well, we know for sure we can't just go ahead and take our rapidly expanding fund balance and just put this toward it. We figured that out right away this morning. So we have to use some other techniques to fund this.
And I think it's important. I mean, in some respects, I mean, it's kind of ironic. You know, here we are as a community out there encouraging the county to move forward with the trail program to bring more people into town. We don't want to lose our ability to bring people in town by this other avenue, by boat. So.
And marina expansion has been a citywide goal for a long time when we were listing them individually, our goals.
Yeah.
There's a lot of support for marina expansion.
Yeah. Especially if the public wasn't paying for it.
If the public.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems real important to start getting it.
Yeah. So we thought it was important to have to just really get this out there and flesh it out a bit.
There's still, I would imagine, some sentiment in the community that it's docks for people, you know, somebody else other than us.
Rich boys' toys. It's kind of like the airport at times.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe it's a good summer to do surveys, you know, just what is the impact of people coming here and
I've
having
wanted,
all that kind of stuff,
right,
you know.
I have wanted to do surveys the last few years. Yeah. It's just hard because I don't have the staff with the extra time to do it, and so we've talked about, you know, trying to come up with a few volunteers, you know, that will pick a couple random, you know, a Wednesday night or say a Friday night, Saturday, whatever, and be on the shopper's dock and count boats and count how many people are getting off the boats and going to town. Same thing, you know, certainly on one water, anytime you see it when you sit there on your boat, how many boats and how many people are getting off their
That's
boats
crazy.
And heading down that dock to go into town.
Well, what did you said it was going to be a $4 million project
That's
overall? Well, maybe we could, rather than relying on volunteers, you know, because it's a really important thing that we have a, you know, we pay people and it's, we get a lot of information, and because it's going to be critical to the success of it, they have real information that people can believe in. And you're not working with the volunteers, oh, they didn't show up, so that screws it up for you, and oh, we missed that day. Yeah. Maybe that'd be a good place to start too this summer. The other thing was the mooring. I mean, have we figured out anything with the mooring now off the open space property? And
we've got kind of a tentative plan or proposal that could be implemented. We'd have to get permitted for it. And so the permits, the active permits that we have for the marina currently expire this year. So we're going to have to apply for new permits anyways. And at that time, we will implement a few tweaks we've made from the original permitted plan as far as the interior of the layouts for the expansion. The size and the amount of space that will be taken up by it doesn't change, but we've tweaked, you know, the inner workings of where slips would go and things like that. And also, you know, that includes the moorings that were proposed for out here. When we reapply, at that time, we could probably include a mooring field there within that permit if we chose to.
the mooring field that's right off of Burnt Boat here, right off of Little League Point. Are they there, or are they more over here? Or are they all the way over by the open space?
Well,
maybe both.
Or all of the above?
I think that when we apply for our permit, we ask for all of the above. Whether, you know, whatever you decide to put in and actually, you know, install and rent, you know, we may never go forward with putting them here, but if they've already permitted them to us once, why wouldn't we ask for it again, just so we had it in our back pocket?
I was just asked that question just a couple days ago, that it would ruin the great walleye fishing out here, but I just, yeah, whatever.
That what would ruin the walleye?
Moorings.
Moorings. Moorings affect, might improve it, I would affect walleye.
It seems like when they were approving that, the approved mooring field out here, I mean, fisheries was a huge consideration with regards to that permitting process. And it seems like we'd gotten input from the fisher people and things like that about all those moorings before they were permitted.
Well, it was Buzz Blackman. I mean, he's a big opponent of fishing. He cornered me and asked me about the flower boxes. Is that going to, or flower beds? Is that going to hamper access to fishing? And while you're at it, what about the moorings? I mean, you know, so just it's out there.
Yeah. It
from a township resident.
No.
Is
Buzz lives in town. That's
where's
Don,
he?
Don's the dad.
Oh, sorry.
He's the dad. But he's against Ted Maxey's property because he owned the family property is up off of Call Street.
Oh, okay.
And Kevin lives on Call Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. His son, Kevin the fireman.
Yep.
Yep.
It's certainly anything that you put in the water is going to have some
impact.
And
but it could be a good impact. I mean, structure.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
I mean, if you're used to trolling back and forth across here without having to work around anything.
That's true.
Then yes. Now, are those boats going to be there all the time? No. You know, I don't know. I don't remember exactly when walleye season is compared to
spring and fall.
Yeah. The heavy
boats. Are the boats in and out there? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to say there will be no impact.
And I didn't answer him. It's just out there.
Yeah.
And he speaks for a lot of the local fishermen.
Sure. Yep. So those have already been permitted, the moorings. Not so much right off the ball field, but that way a little bit. They've already been permitted once. I don't see any reason why we would not include them in the permit application again.
I agree.
However, there is a lot of feedback about that is not the optimal place.
Yes.
For moorings because it's so exposed. And I don't know if any of you got to witness my stepson's sailboat this fall get blown on shore here.
That was behind Honeywell.
Yeah, kind of between the ball field and Honeywell.
Yep.
Because of the way that it's exposed out here.
Well, would that be any different than the exposure that's out at the open space?
It's a little more protected over that way?
Not much,
but a little more.
Because it depends which way the winds are coming.
Yeah.
Because it'll blow pretty hard just even over at the launch area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sounds like something coming from a person who's launched in some of those conditions.
In a very tiny boat.
That's why this launch is better for it. You ever launch from that?
Mm-hmm.
I assume so, yeah.
So, I don't know, we don't have a great place for moorings.
No, but this is, as it's been stated, this is a great discussion.
Yeah. And the only other thing that would be new, I don't know if you've gotten as far as looking at the fee schedule at all, but what we've done this year, because we have been losing quite a bit of money on credit card fees, and we're trying to figure out how to balance that out a little bit, what we proposed in the fee schedule, and this will actually be on your commission agenda because I need to adopt these fees prior to you actually adopting the budget because we start
that's page 9 behind tab 15.
Okay. is for the seasonal rates, not the nightly people, but the people paying per season. We've established a little bit higher rate, but we've given a discount for anybody who pays cash or check.
We verified that that's okay with our auditors, just to make sure that...
We can't charge a fee for, we can't pass on those credit card fees. That's not legal, but we can give a discount for those who pay cash or check.
I'll give a check.
What's the difference?
Well, I know.
Oh, we have to go through a third party provider to be able to. They would capture the fees, not us. They would capture the fees
and cash
from the people running the credit cards.
Yes.
We cannot.
Right.
Another fine law from the state of Michigan.
Is the shop dock the one that's straight down from Sante?
No, that is the One Water Marina. Those are not the Shopper's Dock. The Shopper's Dock is over here by the river mouth next to the
restaurant. So when my son comes down on his boat and he docks there, is he paying a fee there? I don't think
so. Just for dinner?
Yeah.
No. And some people come to the Shopper's Dock and some people come to Cafe Sante's Dock. He has free moorings for dinner.
Correct. Although there will be no slips there this year for that.
Oh.
So... The only place that anybody would be able to tie up would be out on the end if it's nice and calm out, or on the broadside way up in the front.
Way up in front, that's where they can usually go for dinner.
Yeah, I think that's where he usually...
There will be no slips for anybody to pull into this year. So when these big boats want to come down for dinner, I don't have a place to put them, so to speak. So it'll be interesting this summer.
How many hours a week, how much of your time do you spend as the harbor master?
It really varies this time of year. If I don't have a grant or a budget or things like that working on, I really don't have to do much. I mean, I get phone calls, you know, so I usually will throw on my time card a half an hour here, an hour there kind of thing, you know, just because I get those emails, phone calls and things I have to answer, and I know those add up eventually. In the summertime, I have Sheila, and she does a lot for me as far as everything on site, but there's still, you know, a lot of questions, the dealing with the money that's coming in and out and things like that. So in the summer, I probably could spend, there are probably some days that I don't spend more than 20 minutes, and there's other days that it might take me an hour or two to sort through everything, especially like Monday after the weekend.
I've seen you there on a lot of Saturdays, Sundays.
That happens occasionally. Unfortunately, we only can hire so much summer staff, because the more you hire, the less hours, of course, each individual gets. And they all want their hours until it's time for a concert or something like that. And we just don't have the staff to always spread around. So there are plenty of times that I have to go and help cover a little gap here and there. There's a lot of times that I go down there just on my own time. If I'm out walking or walking the dogs, I'll stop. So many of these boaters have become personal friends of mine. So sometimes I'm just down there. Of course, you're always observing. You're always looking at what's going on. I always get up and answer people's questions if they have questions. But a lot of the times I'm just there on my own time.
You also don't charge any of your time off to Boyne Thunder, correct?
Correct.
I've always thought that that could be some of her salary could be charged over.
Well, this current budget season that we're in, and I guess I didn't realize it either, but Main Street did budget $8,000 contribution to the marina. Which is why I ended up with $8,001 in the fund balance, because that came in after I had completed my budget and had it down to zero, or down to $1 apparently. So that's, I don't think that they have budgeted anything for this upcoming budget that we're talking about now, but they did make an $8,000 contribution this year.
Yeah, When was it? Was it last year or the year before that they added those additional?
Last year.
Yeah, slips on there.
So last year they did the slips and an $8,000 contribution.
You have any idea what the slips were worth?
I think that was, what did that come in at, like 40?
Yeah, 35, 40, 42.
38,000? And then there was some additional fees because we had some electrical work and things like that, but the dock itself was about 38,000.
And the lighthouse is proposed to get freshened up as well, too.
Yeah.
So it looks, so it won't look as gnarly on the stucco. Mm-hmm. Looking a little bit stale.
Yeah, under buildings and equipment, $10,500, and I think I have the lighthouse, whether it's cleaned and or painted, some rain gutter around the little pavilion building, installation of a drinking fountain. Closest drinking fountain is at the pavilion, so we've always, I thought if we got a drinking fountain, it would be good for the boaters. Certainly save on a lot of recycling of the bottled water. Our staff goes through just a ton of bottled water in the summertime, so I thought if I installed a drinking fountain, I could encourage them to bring their own refillable bottles. And then like I said, we have a lot of pets, so we're always putting water bowls out for pets, and the fountain that I looked at has the pet bowl at the bottom. So those are the things slated for improvements under buildings and equipment. And then under repairs and maintenance, I have one finger pier that I know has to be repaired, and I've already got numbers for that. But I need to go now that I can get back out on the docks and kind of do an inspection of all of them.
See how they held up through the winter?
Yeah. What happens with the finger piers is that on the bottom side there's steel plating, and that's all the flotation, the foam is up inside there, and those steel plates start to corrode and they start to fall down. And the steel plates serve not only as protection to the bottom, but they're kind of a counterweight when those steel plates start to fall. And so maybe it's kind of hanging like this instead of being up here like this. It starts to pull the dock and twist it one way or the other. And then, of course, critters like to get up in there as soon as they can, and they start picking away at that foam. And so it compromises the stability this way of the dock. Almost sound like I know what I'm talking about, don't I?
Yeah, you did.
Balderdash.
Called sea legs.
It's a good game. Okay, any other questions for Barb on the marina? We'll plan on coming back in the next few months with regards to some plans to get us beyond this fiscal year.
Sounds good. Any other questions?
Nope.
No.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barb.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Barb.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you. I hope you're here too much longer.
We're just getting started. We're having fun. Okay, since we're at tab 8, let's go to tab 9 and talk about airports since we're right in the neighborhood. And we'll see if we can get the airport manager up here to talk to you about that.
Oh, I'm here.
Again, for a number of years, we've broken the airport off, so we track its revenues and expenditures. And other than a couple of years ago, we haven't had to, when was it? I don't know. Well, I'm not showing any revenues where we've had to donate or get cash flow in from the general fund in the last few years. It almost used to be every year we were getting some money from the general fund, and we've been able to really scale that back. So we are proposing a dip into the fund balance a little bit this year, nothing next year. We're anticipating gasoline sales, which is a major source of revenue for us at the airport, to remain fairly constant. We have an honor system for our airport gasoline sales. We don't have credit card sales or anything like that. When I first came to town, I thought that was nuts, but we lose so little with regards to bad debt or somebody just, you know, filling up their plane and flying away compared to the fees that we have to pay on the credit cards, like Barb was talking about for her stuff. This is nothing. So it really is an efficient system, and we get a lot of positive comments for it. It's all self-serve. another fundraiser.
So they get billed? Is that what you do?
Yes. So someone will come in, they'll get like 15, 20 gallons, they'll write a slip of paper, drop it off in a box inside the terminal, then we turn around and bill them. And then they send us a check. So, or else, if it's Leon Dreamy, he'll come in and pay cash. Mm-hmm. Drag Race is another fundraiser for the airport. We used to do that. It was started by the police department as a co-fundraiser for the airport and the police department. It started out with once a year in the fall, then we did it on Labor Day and Memorial Day, and after a while the police department volunteers got burned out. Some sucker, namely me, basically keeps running the dang thing to keep it going, and we do it on Labor Day, the Sunday of Labor Day every year. And that brings in about $5,000 a year after expenses for the airport. They get half of the proposed revenues themselves. You'll see that we get rent for the terminal. That's from Northern Homes, who has their offices up there. You'll also see the increased rents that we're expecting this year for the hangar rent, which is line 675. We got two 675s there somehow. With regards to that, we have about 13 hangars that are coming back. Basically, when somebody builds a hangar, they get it. They build the hangar. It's deeded to the city. They get to use it for 25 years. It basically no additional cost other than utilities and liability insurance on it. And after the 25th year, it goes back to the city to operate. We give the people that had been leasing it first dibs on staying there if they have an airplane. And if not, then it just goes into our rental pool. We have all of the hangars except for one of the 13 leased. So we might actually come in a little bit better than that $39,000 proposed. We have a little bit for contributions. I'm going to have to look at that one to see. Oh, I know what that is. That's for a proposed series of signs that say how much runway length is left before you run off the end of the runway. We have somebody looking to provide those. Charge for fees and services, that's basically for people that are parking out there for their vehicles and or planes on the taxiways, or we have a parking lot there as well too. So that'll bring in $122,250. We look to add to the fund balance by about $2,000, and that'll leave us about $46,000 in the account for the airport. Wages and salaries, these are for when the DPW folks are up there mowing grass or doing maintenance, things of that nature. It gets billed back to the airport. The airport lawn is one of those ones that I think could possibly be contracted out. So as we're talking about what's the best way for us to do things, do we hire people, do we buy equipment, or do we just turn it over to, you know, sub it out to a contractor and let them do it and not hire it as much ourselves? Hopefully with better results than what we're having now. Not that we're doing bad, but just good results.
Does that cover the snow removal, the runway too?
Yes, it would. Yep. I guess I got stuck in just the summer season thing. Let's see. Just in personnel costs with the medical insurance and Social Security deals are prorated out of that as well too. Same thing with regards to retirement, unemployment compensation, supplies. That's for, you know, fixing stuff around the airport. Let's see, repairs and maintenance. We anticipate that that's going to go up a bit more because we have more hangars to maintain. So if a closer or a hinge or something goes wrong, we're going to have to do more maintenance on this. 736 is what the fuel costs us. That should always be lower than the revenues. We should be making money on it. We have some of the lowest price fuel in the region. And there's two types of fuel. There's basically aviation low lead fuel. That's what we sell. That's mainly for what the small Cessnas and things with the propeller on the planes with the propeller on the front fly. There's some more, the newer, bigger planes. A lot of them they use Jet A, and we don't sell that. They can get that over at the Boeing Mountain Airport. Here's the flip side of telephone and utilities. We're looking to see if we can improve the situation with internet over there. We have a like a DSL line that really isn't all that functional. We're trying to see if there's a cooperative agreement we can work out with Northern Homes to share their internet connection, but we found out that theirs is limited through Charter. And we're also talking to the county with regards to improving the internet, as I mentioned before, for the DPW and the airport and the wastewater plant, and that might be part of this. Environmental, that's mainly for the registration and stuff for the fuel tank that we have out there. Motor pool is for the equipment that's used for plowing and mowing and things of that nature. Training, we have an airport conference or two that we go to on a regular basis for the expenses related to that. That was up a bit because we usually it's been just me going to those, but I now have one of our new volunteers, Richard Wright, who you appointed to the board not too long ago. He's pretty energized and would like to get into some trainings on that as well, too. Events, if the airport board puts on any special functions, that's what that covers for. You know, if they host a business after hours, something of that nature. Insurance is pretty self-explanatory, as is the workers' comp. Capital outlay, equipment in case we need anything in the terminal. Airport improvements. That goes for crack sealing, tree trimming. We, as I mentioned before, we're doing a bunch of tree trimming out there to make sure that we can keep our approaches open. So, and they're really working hard on goals to move the airport forward. I think we've got a good board. It seems like it's getting some fresh legs beneath them with some new energy and some new board members on that. So. Any questions about the airport or its operations? It's pretty smooth sailing.
Yeah, it seems like you got some good people now.
Right? Yeah, really do.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, yeah, a good mix of, I mean, old timers like Leon Jarima. I mean, I can't say enough about the good things he does out there. And some, like I said, some new fresh blood as well, too.
So. Manage their expectations.
That's going to be a little bit difficult. And, I think they'd like to do everything all at once and, you know, wish it could be done yesterday, and I've got to keep them focused on the long term. So, any questions with regards to the airport or?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Very good. Hang on, I'm gonna turn it back out.
So is it the only one that has a different amount for the expenditure and the revenue?
Excuse me?
Seems like every other one they matched, and this one is off.
By
like
$50?
No, $2,000.
That's why you see, because revenues, and that's good, you'd like to see revenues more than expenditures, and that's why we're adding $1,950
okay.
to the fund balance. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah, okay. It's just that I didn't see it in any of the others, so I just...
This is the only one that's supposed to make money. We haven't had to draw from the fund balance.
Well, there you go.
It's because they have great leadership there. They have the
I
manager
knew
you'd
come up with that.
Well, I'm flying high, but I usually am at the airport.
So, like, are we going to have, like, 3 hours each way at this tomorrow?
Would you like?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of the funds.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're thinking about. In the car ride down, I've got you trapped.
I know.
And that's usually when we get to the Lansing Center. You know, I say, hey, do we all want to go together? And everybody goes off into different directions so they can get away from me for a couple hours. And then Ron falls asleep, so. Okay. Let's jump to tab 13, which is DDA Main Street. And I got a text from Kelsey last night. She was out skiing over the weekend, and apparently she had a fall, and she went into emergency with concerns about concussion. She started throwing up and things like that, and wasn't sure if it was a flu or a concussion. So the doctors told her to take it easy for the next couple days, so she's not here. I'll try and guide us through this the best I can, even though she prepared the budget. She'd be glad to come and meet with you at some other time with regards to it.
She must have been a little too crazy at Crazy Days.
Mm-hmm. But Cindy talked her into wearing a helmet, thankfully.
Earlier this winter, I said, get
a
helmet.
She still got a concussion?
She was wearing a helmet. Yeah.
Wow. Boy, if you start to look after a head injury, you usually have a concussion.
That's,
I've had some experience with that.
So,
bummer.
If you have
a head injury of some sort, don't take any aspirin or anything like that because it dulls
the reaction.
Symptoms. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And if you start having an upset stomach, it's almost a sure sign that you have a concussion.
Oh.
And she knew that, so.
Okay, so the DDA is basically the Main Street. Our DDA is legally established under the state procedures for that, and you have the boundaries on the pink section on the map, like what we talked about earlier. So the TAF, we're on page 13-1. You'll see that we're proposing to dip into the fund balance a little bit for this year. Again, they're not too bad. At the end of the year, they're proposing that, the coming year, we're proposing that they'll have about $340,000 in the fund balance, so they're not doing too bad right now. If you go to line 405, that's a little concerning because you'll see the trend with regards to tax revenues is down the last few years, from 289 basically to 254. So,
and Kelsey and I, we actually did a projection out through the term of the 15 years of the DDA, of this current DDA cycle. So,
what's that showing you?
It's showing us we're going to, obviously, when the brownfields come off, that's when we'll start to see an increase, but we're not.
And how far out is that? Do you remember approximately?
I wish I had brought that worksheet with me, but it's only a few years away on the first one,
mm-hmm.
and then throughout the plan of the second.
Yeah. I know at the April Main Street Board meeting, we're supposed to receive a revised request from Glenn Catt with regards to the Boyne City Tap Room that basically...
you mean Seven Monks?
Seven Monks, thank you. Where he basically looks at their actual expenses versus what the board allowed. So they're going to, Mac McClellan's going to be back and they're going to be going through that as well too. So we might get some insights. That'd be a good time to have some of that insight on
Cindy,
that.
Cindy, have you looked at those numbers too to track how they compare to that 15-year downtown development plan, what was projected?
Yes, we did. Yes. It's not what it was supposed to be, so.
Yeah.
Not quite as strong?
No.
Do you know why, or do...
Oh.
Second rate, or do they... Anyway.
Yeah.
It seemed like it's quite a bit lower than what they were anticipating. Is part of that drop, too, from the library pulling out of the DDA?
Yes.
How much a year is that about?
It's 11,000, isn't it?
Right around there. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more, yeah.
Well, if that was still in there, was that in there last year or not?
Yes.
Okay. In the 261?
No, it was not in the 261. I'm sorry, that's this year. I'm thinking this year. Yes, it was in the 278, but it's not in the 261.
Okay, so that would reflect that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we're looking at the values of the brownfield properties are increasing, so that's why you're seeing less going into the DDA.
Because they're having to pay off those debt brownfield obligations at this point.
Yeah, well, their values, they're doing what they wanted them to do, so.
Yep, we got the improvements, and those will be there for quite some time because they're quality improvements.
Right.
If you go down to 670, well, the first 670.
They're all pointed off in decimal
areas, okay. And that's probably what it was over at the airport or the other one I was looking at. You'll see that some of the committee revenues are down from where they were a couple years ago, and that the Main Street Board's looking at that to see if that trend can be reversed. Again, whether it's the stroll of the streets or the walkabout sculpture show or whatever, those should be bringing more revenues in to hopefully balance them off. One area that has shown significant increases at this point is the Boyne Thunder, which was originally raised as a revenue project for the group. And you can see how last year that $69,000 came in significantly higher than what was budgeted at the $36,000. We're still using conservative estimates with regards to the revenues at the $40,000, but if we repeat what we did last year, it should come in above that as well too, to the good. And that's just this share of the poker run revenues coming into the DDA. There are discussions about how that split should be handled going forward, and that could be a interesting discussion with some of the other partner or some of the other groups that we work with. So,
how much money do they have to hold back for seed money to, you know, to fund the next year's event?
I don't know. I'm not that close with regards to it. I don't remember. Did they do any?
I don't think they have to do that.
They don't. They don't have
they
to
don't,
do that
because the registrations come in early enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and they've already had the registrations for this year, and at Kelsey's report at our last Main Street board meeting, they leased every one. They only had one spot available, and that was the next day after it. It didn't sell out immediately, so we have a few more poker runs in the area that are providing competition around the state. I think Rogers City is doing one, and there's something going on in Traverse City as well too.
Traverse City, Sault Ste. Marie. Yeah.
I didn't remember.
Will the lack of slips at one water affect them?
Or are they it could. That would have been a better question for Barb because she kind of handles that. I know most of the leases, at least the ones they still have control on, still have them require them to vacate for that event. So, any questions on DDA revenues or fund balance before we go to expenditures? Salaries here. There's two salaries involved. It's going to be Kelsey as the Main Street manager, and Ingrid is as her part-time assistant. That's in there as well too. Again, you see the benefits split amongst those costs. Office supplies. Their office is currently behind where Fustini's used to be, and they're planning on staying there. That was rented by Wes Dilworth, who's basically vacated it and moved his office to his house on South Lake Street. And she's dealing with Bob Kroondike with regards to staying there, and we've entered into a month-to-month lease at basically no change in cost. So Kelsey wants to see what happens, who the other tenants are that are going to be going in there in the Fustini space. Right in front of her where Wes's office was, there's going to be an iPhone repair shop going in there. A new one, not the same one that was out by Little Caesars.
What's going in?
iPhone repair shop. Okay. Yeah. It's a real pain in the glass, but we'll take it. Office supplies. Whoa. What?
Nothing.
In prepping us for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one might have been a misdial.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Repairs and maintenance, that's just for things around the downtown, membership dues for associations that we're associated with, Chamber of Commerce, things of that nature. I think a lot of these are self-explanatory. The administrative fee that comes back to the general fund for basically our in-house support. Then we have various committee expenses with regards to the design committee, capital improvements, which will be in part used for their facade improvement loan program and other improvements in the areas. Let's see. Streetscape amenities, those are spelled out on the detail sheet on page 13-5. You know, things like the holiday decorations, tree maintenance, wayfinding signage, things of that nature, which we're looking to clean up. We've had a bunch of the letters that peeled off on some of the signs that the wood shop is rebuilding. Business recruitment, funding to help Team Boyne with their operations. If they have any expenses going forward, onto the next page. Stop me if you need to somewhere along the way. Org committee, that's kind of the governing structure committee behind the organization. Education and travel. Kelsey will be going to the National Main Street Conference and other conferences around the state that are required by Main Street. We do a lot of advertising and publishing for events or in the chamber newsletter, things of that nature. Promotions committee, again, that's more advertising and includes things such as the billboard that we have out on 131 coming into town from M32. Bon Appetit, again, that's that food and restaurant program to encourage eating local. Again, some of these things that we've seen on the flip side of the revenues, Stroll the Streets, Walkabout Sculpture Show, the proposed rent, I think it's still only $300 a month. The maintenance service fee, this is the other half of what we saw with regards to the general fund revenues to offset some of the costs we have associated with the DPW. Depreciation, that's usually entered into by the auditors. Loan repayment, this is the other half of that on the debt schedule that we saw that was paid off this year. You saw what the payments were in the past there. Any questions on DDA Straight?
No.
Okay. Boyne Thunder.
I don't have a question, Mike, but I have a comment that I would really encourage us to get that parking study done. It seems really important to me.
Oh, yeah. No, I think so, too.
But I didn't see anything budgeted in here.
No, because we won't see any of that money flow through us. They'll pay. Yeah. The RRC will pay that directly.
Oh, I see.
So, at first, Main Street, through the org committee, was kind of talking about that. And frankly, I was a little disappointed that they didn't rely on Scott Moore, kind of learning from what we did on the past, even if they wanted to do something completely different. So they were getting ready to go out for bids, and then we had the opportunity, we reached out to the RRC to see if they could help us with, again, the Fochtman lot and this parking study. Again, we'll see where that goes, and hopefully they'll give us enough oomph that it'll do something. If not, I would assume that the Main Street will come back and revise their budget to put something in on their own. Because, yeah, I think it's a real important discussion.
And you can only do it in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, if you miss this summer, you got to wait another year.
Yep, to gather some data on that. Anything else?
Do they think the, is the Main Street satisfied with the sidewalk snow removal?
I didn't hear any complaints with regards to it. I mean, the main issue we've got is with businesses that are basically closed for the winter that don't shovel their walks, like Parkside or, you know, at the end it was Fustini's or something of these natures that, or the t-shirt shop that's in the old Radio Shack, and they just kind of close up and walk away. And we'll have people that will shovel right to the sidewalk on either side of them, and then some places that just don't do it all. We had the same thing over at Seven Monks. They didn't want to shovel their sidewalks. It was like, in some respect, I don't know if they'd given up already or something of that nature, but I was surprised, you know, they didn't have a very welcoming thing where you went down to the Boyne City Tap Room and at least all their sidewalks were cleaned, or over at Stig's or some of the other places. So, and that gets back to a whole question about, you know, do we put, you know, we have the ordinances on the books that said we can enforce that to require it. Is the property owner's obligation to maintain those sidewalks? The city provides a supplemental service when it gets above, you know, an inch or two of, I think it's 2 inches or so of snow, where we go through with our equipment. But that was never supposed to be the only sidewalk plowing thing. So, okay, on to Boyne Thunder, unless there's something further. You can see all the things that add up to their estimated $307,000 approximately of what they anticipate coming in. And this is broken down by event, not so much by fiscal year, because the fiscal years and the events don't line up too well. And you'll see that we brought in about $377,000 last event. We're anticipating somewhere more in the middle on that with the 307 number. So sponsorship fees, you can see how huge those are. The second line from the bottom, and that is a way that a lot of people get their boats into the event itself is by taking out a sponsorship and have one come with it. So on the flip side, you'll see the expenditures with regards to it. You'll see Some of the contributions that are made out to Camp Quality and Challenge Mountain with regards to the revenues that those folks have gotten. Different other expenses associated with it, everything from help to insurances and permits, things of that nature. Actual food and beverages, that's a huge chunk right there on line 811-260, third line down on the page 13-7. So food and drink and advertising, we have to pay tax on certain portions of that event. Various supplies, keeping the website up. The tent is expensive that they use for the dinner that they have there. Again, the prizes that are paid, a lot of money flowing through for $10,000 of prizes, and a lot of times those are actually channeled back to some of the sponsoring groups. Nothing that really jumps out there. Aerial filming, they've asked if there's some way we can ban little drones flying in there, and according to the FAA, we can't. So, and then the last line item there, the transfer of the DDA fund, is basically the portion of the fundraising that goes to support the DDA itself. So, a very popular event. It remains that way. I mean, I can remember back to the first one that we had with Howard Newkirk involved with that, and I'm going to forget the commissioner's name. Vicki Standen. Yes. Then putting that first one on, and a couple of years into it, wondering if we had enough activities to keep it going, and it's really held its own very well. So, a big event for the community.
Yeah, we haven't seen Vicki around in a long time.
No. No. She and her husband used to drop by on like once or twice a year, but that hasn't been for a few years. Any questions about Boeing Thunder? They have a really good committee working on that behind the scenes. Bob Alger has just been great as pretty much the lead on that guy. He just does a phenomenal job. So. Okay, if you're good with that, we'll move on to 13.9, which is the farmer's market budget. I go back to the glory days when Hugh insisted that we take over the farmer's market from the seniors. And I think Ron and Hugh were fighting about who had control over it, and Main Street lost. So we ended up with it, but it's I think it's really blossomed under Main Street leadership over all these years. I think it's still continuing to do very well. We have the new market manager, Missy, who was over at the Chamber of Commerce for a long period of time, who's been with us for a few months now, transferring from Becky Harris. It's always nice to have Becky in the wings, and it's a labor of love for her as well, too. You'll see the revenues that we have here with regards to the program. They have some fundraisers that take place, special events, the food truck rally, things of that nature. There's some funding that comes back from the state, from some of their food sponsorship opportunities, things of that nature. You'll see the vendor fees towards the bottom of it during the summer, and then the scaled down version that we have in the winter. So obviously most of the activity takes place in the summer. So they're looking to pretty much draw down their fund balance in this current fiscal year. That's to help with contributions for the pavilion. On page 13-11, you'll see the expenditures. And I should point out, with regards to the manager's salary and Missy, she is serving as our market manager, and then she's also serving as the market manager for Charlevoix as well, too. So that helps her get closer to a full-time position, but with two employers, and they all kind of pay, we each pay a part-time thing and don't have to worry about benefits. Then there are the fringes that go with that. Supplies, again, various expenses going along the way there. Expenses for some of their fundraising events that we saw on the flip side. The farm meal didn't do very well this last year. The food truck rally did better. Miscellaneous things such as t-shirt sales, market money, which is a bit of a, kind of like a chamber check type of a program that they have for the market. Again, you're seeing some of the food programs, the SNAP, the Double Up Bucks, Senior Project Fresh, WIC, things of that nature that are shown as expenses as well too. On the page 13-12, again, education and training for the market manager, that seems a bit high.
Is that a typo?
Yeah, I'm wondering about that, Hugh. I'll have to double check on that. Hang on a sec. The 870 line item on 13-12. Did Kelsey talk to you about that?
I did hear them talking about wanting to put a lot more into advertising, because the
well, that would be the next line item.
That would be 900.
That would be.
Oh, it's education training.
No, and she looked at this several times.
We'll double check on that and report back. Let me make a note real quick.
Does Charlevoix have a winter sidewalk?
No.
Farmer's market?
Not yet. Not currently, no.
They did briefly a couple of years ago in the library.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll check on that 871 and get back to you. That just seems an awful high jump. I'm not quite sure what that is. Just some promotions and printing materials through the rest of it. And then you'll see their contributions that they're proposing with regards to the pavilion, the 31761.
Have you heard of any pushback from the committee members about having the money that they make
No.
From their events continuing to go to the pavilion?
No.
Yeah. You know, just before I left the committee, right when I retired, they were sort of saying, what about this, you know, pavilion part? We're not seeing putting money in it, but are receiving no benefit foreseeably. And I would imagine that with the completion of this phase, that same concern will be there, since it's a long way from being a winter home. And
well, they will start seeing some benefit for it, because there will be a storage room that's built in as part of this first phase
that they'll be able to utilize.
That will replace the trailer that they've had to haul around from time to time. Mm-hmm. So there'll be an immediate benefit. It's not certainly the full benefit that they're looking for.
Well, I certainly see that, you know, the additions to the fund balance, if you will, are pretty modest.
Yes.
So I think if there is that continued push, if that comes up again, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if they're looking to make any further contributions to it. Right. I think I have sensed there's kind of a weariness factor.
Yeah.
With regards to it, I haven't heard anything. No directly complaints with that have been directed to me.
Right.
I'm trying to think if I've even heard anything from Ken on that. No.
Okay. I don't think so.
Is there any? Wait, how much for the garage doors?
$72,000 approximately. Yeah, it might be a little bit more than that. Matter of fact, we were supposed to be having a fundraising committee. Michelle Cartwright and Becky Harris and I were going to meet with Bob Kroondike and Kelsey and on that yesterday. But Michelle and Kelsey both came sick, so we've rescheduled it to Thursday. Hopefully that'll take place, because they're looking at ramp up, take advantage of the progress that's been made on the pavilion, to use that to hopefully, you know, encourage some more contributions and have people sponsor a door or sponsor a light or things of that nature.
Yeah, you know, so have a grand opening. Done.
What's it? Oh yeah, we'll have a ribbon cutting, no doubt about it. A grand partial ribbon cutting. Maybe we'll only cut it halfway through or something like that, since we're not completely done. But I mean, that's going to be a challenge and an opportunity, because people, in some sense, will look at the pavilion and say, wow, that looks so much better. we're done, move on.
Yeah, right.
And the other part, we'll see that, well, we've got a much better space than what we've had before. It's expanded, it's going to be higher quality, I think it's going to be more functional, but it won't be year-round, which was one of the main things that we talked about. It'll still be subject to those, you know, winds blowing through it and things of that nature. So we are looking to see if we can still use some of those curtains on some of the doorways, but there'll be more doorways than we have curtains until we can get the garage doors up. So
when do the garage doors
Up with the money for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the garage doors doesn't put the market in there in the winter yet because we don't need them.
If there is a possibility that they could use, you know, like if you see at some restaurants where they have those like portable heaters, kind of look like hats or something like that, or umbrellas with a big propane tank underneath there, the building will be insulated. So, I mean, even with the garage doors, those will lose some heat, but you'd lose the wind and you might be able to take the chill out of it, but it certainly won't be as comfortable as it is here. I think this worked out as a real good interim step that we could run for a couple of years if we need to.
Yeah.
Will those garage doors have screens as well? That
no.
No, okay.
No.
I have a garage door contractor that contacted me and wants to bid on those. Should I contact you or Bob?
You should contact Kelsey.
Okay.
That doesn't necessarily have to go through Bob.
True. But the 77 is a number that I think he compiled.
Who did, Bob?
Bob.
Yeah. I'm assuming. Do you know if you talked to this guy that you're talking to?
I don't
know. Yeah. I would say we'd probably run it by Kelsey.
Okay.
I would start there.
So has the Main Street Board talked about using money to get the garage doors up?
No. They haven't.
Well, if they can have a 330.
Right. Yes.
That would be 265 still in the fund. Do they have any other plans, investments, or anything they plan on doing or projects on the horizon?
Not that they've talked about, but I think that's something that they really need to talk about, capital improvements. I mean, what, if any, contributions should they be making to the marina fund or
improvements
on that?
Right.
They're going to have to be looking at, in addition to going out into new things, you know, some of the street sidewalks and curbs and things like that downtown. The brick pavers are starting to look, a little bit tired.
The boardwalk too might need some maintenance.
Yeah. So they can blow through that fund balance really quick. So
the garage doors are to shut it up at night in the summer?
No.
No.
Just inclement weather.
Just bad weather.
They're just to make it an enclosed building in the winter.
Correct. I mean, they could be used during the summer if somebody wanted to close it up, if they had a real windy night or it's rainy or something like that. But we're not looking to close it every night, no. And there will not be automatic openers on it. It'll all be manual.
So. And all of the appliances inside?
There are no appliances programmed at this point.
Oh, okay.
But that's another phase. There's another phase for a community kitchen, and that would have its own secured area.
Okay.
But that's another phase down the road. We received a grant for, $30,000 to help pay for that, but until we get to that phase, we'll probably lose that grant or it'll time out and we'll have to reapply. So. Anything further on Farmer's Market?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, it's still going strong. A point of pride for Boyne City. Okay. If we're done with that one, shall we continue, those three, shall we continue on with the LDFA since we're right there on that next page?
Mm-hmm.
This is the business park out at M75 on the east side of town. I serve as overseeing on that on a day-to-day basis. On page 13-14, you'll see the revenues, I'm on the wrong page, 13-13, Mockingbird Lane. You'll see the revenues on that. The main one is tax revenues coming in. This came in at a little bit better, about $30,000 higher than we projected at the beginning of last fiscal year. at the 169, and we're kind of picking a little bit of a middle ground with regard to the revenues coming on that in the year ahead. You'll see that they have a very healthy fund balance, just shy of $1 million.
Why such a large fund balance?
Because they're looking at three things. Two phases of improved drainage improvements to make more of the lots in the industrial park usable, which could eat through that money in a heartbeat. And additionally, they're very concerned with regards to filling the park or having lots that are available for any significant development there. We're starting to run out of space. And so they're looking at, are there additional properties somewhere in the vicinity that we should be acquiring? So they've got plans for using all the money. They just haven't used it yet. And they're going back and forth on whether it should be land acquisition or the next, and so they're kind of holding off on doing a next phase of the drainage. We did one phase of the drainage a couple years ago around the area where Mall Drive goes in by where Northern Logistics is and Classic Instruments. We'd get a good rain in Precision Ed. We'd get a good rain there, and we'd have lots flooding and things of that nature. And that we got that first phase of the drainage work done, and that basically solved the problem over there. So.
Could I get shut down again? What we could do, you know, can we borrow a little bit of money out of there?
No. I've asked.
With that wastewater fund that we did?
Yeah. I talked to our financial consultant on that a couple times. I'll forget, and then I'll say, we could use this, borrow that, and kind of like we did with the DDA or...
Before that, I was thinking that half of the 72, DDA could borrow half, which would keep them consistent with the $7,000 payment they had from the wastewater fund.
Yeah.
And get the doors on it.
We looked at that to see it, because that's a good idea, but... So, sorry. I guess I did have to shoot you down again.
Good try.
How come we could do it before?
Different fund, different requirements.
Yes. LDF, those TIF funds are very sticky.
Yeah. We had more flexibility in the wastewater account with regards to that than we do on this one. And I don't know if that difference is, part of it's because of the state law on that and court rulings with regards to it. These are tax revenues, and the other ones were user fees that may have had something to do with it too.
Has the state ever audited this the LDFA?
They see our audits every year. All of these, and these are all included in the financial reports that go to the state every year. The state has never come in and audited any of our accounts.
Specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't. That's not.
Because we have such a good track record with regards to our financial reporting. So.
Yeah. I've asked that question many times. You know, why can't we use it? Yeah.
Did we give you a similar answer?
Same answer.
Well, at what point
but
is
what they
too
don't
much
know
too much?
Hurt them either.
When it's in excess of what their planned expenses are.
Yeah. So, in other words,
so no limit.
Zero.
Because you really aren't going to know until you have to deal with it.
Well, I mean, we've got firm cost estimates with regards to the drainage improvements, and those exceed this cost, the money we have in our fund balance already.
Is that to save vacant lots or lots already developed?
Lots already developed. Well, no, excuse me. The lots are developed. They haven't all been built upon. So
would it be cheaper to just expand rather than to try to save those?
If you can find the property. But
does it have to be contiguous?
We're not looking at just contiguous properties. We're looking at properties in the area, then we would ask. I don't know. I don't think it would need to necessarily be contiguous. But any of the issues that we're going to, any of the property that's immediately around it is outside the city, so we're going to have to work our way through those issues, and those can get a little sticky, as we've noticed before. Mm-hmm. Not quite as sticky if you buy it, but it's still an issue you have to work through with the existing jurisdiction.
So like out at North Boynes, I don't know what's out there, would that be property that would be eligible for the LDFA to purchase?
North Boyne?
Well, I don't know what's, you know, just say it somewhere out there. It's within a vacant parcel within the city outside of the business park now.
Well, if we thought it was appropriate and zoned properly for industrial type uses.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, North Boyne is more, well, I mean, we got the DPW yard itself,
yeah, right,
but I don't know if we'd want to add on to.
Yeah, that wasn't a good example.
So, and some of these other locations, depending on where you go, do we have utilities that are close by that we could get to them?
Yeah, right.
And when they did the second phase of the now business park, we had to extend the utility out along M75 and things of that nature. Yeah. But, I mean, well, let's say, okay, we wanted to build a new park out at the old landfill site out at, you know, we own the property already. I mean, other than it being in a residential, you'd have to look at, okay, you know, is there a way you can get internet out there? Is there a way you can get, you know, enough power, all, you know, utilities, all the stuff that, in addition to the land, make it a place that you'd want to put a business.
Right.
So. So we haven't found any ideal piece of property yet. I mean, the one closest, there's kind of behind, immediately to the east, we keep looking at some of that property, but we haven't found a way to make that work yet. Expenditures, support of the general fund under the administrative fee, 802 legal services, we spend $2,000 a year to have our financial counselors and stuff tell us we can't spend money out of the fund balance. Community promotion, and that's generally the, make sure I got the right one. Nope, that's later on down. Community promotion, that's the, I believe the ad that we take out with the Chamber of Commerce. That's the ad we take out with the Chamber of Commerce. No, excuse me. That is the Chamber of Commerce dues in that
Correct.
One. And advertising publishing down further on line 900 is the ad that we take out with them as well, too. Engineering services, that's in case we decide to go forward with the one of the drain improvement projects this year. Professional services, again, some type of consulting, just a little bit of travel in case we have to go anywhere on any expirations. We have a depreciation expense with regards to the land out there and the infrastructure, and we're looking to make some improvements to the entrance, some additional street lighting, and the entrance sign at the original entrance at Air Industrial Drive close to Great Lakes Energy is going to need to be replaced in the next couple of years, so we're setting some money aside for that. So that's what's going on at the LDFA right now. We had a whole bunch of interest in lots last year, and those kind of have all kind of gotten quiet. So we're seeing what, if anything, is going to be going on. We had the one property over by Simtech where there was a bunch of interest in that, but then Simtech talked about whether they had a right of first refusal on that lot, and ultimately that person that was interested in it backed off. They were building a new headquarters and plant down in Romeo, I believe it was, and they didn't want to have too much on their plate at one time, so we'll reach out to them again a little bit later as we get closer to spring and see if they're interested in coming up here. They were looking for to possibly relocate from another community in the area.
So. Did Simtech buy the lot?
No, nobody bought the lot.
Anything going on with Carter's building?
There's all sorts of people that are continuing to be interested in it. My understanding is the owners of the building really are comfortable with regards to receiving the rent for not having it used.
Okay.
Spartan has a lease on it. Whether they'll maintain that after Louis and or Save-A-Lot open up, I don't know. Whether they'll think that the value of keeping other grocers out of town has disappeared or reduced enough that they don't need that facility anymore and release it, we'll see. there was all sorts of opportunity there, but the owners really didn't want to pursue it, is what we've been told. So.
Not being in there for several years now because of the business expo, or a few years anyway, I wonder if it's deteriorating or if it's just being maintained. And
I don't know. The lights are on. I haven't peeked in the windows lately. You know, they're supposed to be keeping the heat on and things of that nature, so.
No. On Facebook, someone said, what's going on? The lights are on.
I had heard they were using it for some storage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have all these years. Use it for some storage. So, usually, like, excess or surplus equipment or shelving or something like that. Never any food that I've seen down there. And, again, a portion of that front lot was purchased where the old ATM machine used to be for a number of years for Forefront before they moved it out to Boyne Falls. Was purchased by Great Lakes Energy. They repaved it, put the new entrance in there along the road, along M75, and they have the shorter street lights in that area on the LED lights that they own that. So.
I have, before we talk about capital improvements plan, that we've been through the whole budget, I had sort of thought about...
We haven't been through the whole budget yet.
What did we miss?
We haven't gone to general.
Yeah, we've got to go back. And...
The general that got interrupted.
Oh. Yeah, general interrupters. Oh.
You know, the pun is the highest form of humor. You're aware of that, right? I mean, true.
No, I didn't.
Considered the highest form of humor.
Would you like to take one and pass these down?
Yeah. We just the whole pack.
Oh, at least
you should.
The
yeah, you should have got a paper clip.
The whole compact.
Yeah.
Is there enough for?
I see.
Yep. No.
Okay. Goodbye, Mike.
Thanks. Unless there's two here. There are two here. These two are pretty thick.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, I had them do seven.
Is this an update?
Yeah, is this
yes.
Replacing what's in here?
Yes. The one that was included in your budget books was not the most recent one. So,
so remove.
Hugh asked me a question about this the other day, and I was able to get to Scott. And, yeah, the first few pages of the cover sheet and the narrative behind it, I think the first two or three, maybe four pages stay the same, but the actual chart. So, because she was asking the question about the 2017, whether that was this current year or the first year of our proposed budget, it is this current year. It's kind of a checklist, and that's why it has completed or in progress, or kind of an update with regards to that. So we actually have an extra year here. So, Dean, you had a question with regards to, or a comment with regards to this?
Not scheduled to much time.
Oh, I think you did.
It's not related to anything.
Okay.
No, it is related to budgeting. You know, we talked sometime in the past about the city property outside of the city.
Yes.
Dump, and then the 40 behind it. Is it a 40? It's up on the hill behind it.
I believe so.
I wonder if there would be value in allocating some resources toward having a consultant go out there and tell us a bit more about the property and its value. The idea is that maybe we want to dispose of it or do something different, or we want to generate some income through a timber sale that we could designate to something. Maybe
I have,
it's a capital improvement.
I have some monies in the general fund expenditures that we haven't gone through for some studies to look at both the North Boyne property and that area as well, too. We talked about doing a tour this spring after the weather gets a little bit better so we can go and eyeball it, and then I think it'd be great to have that discussion after we do that. So. That was one of the comments that Tom suggested in his budget comments with regards to looking at selling that property. I think it's worth taking a look at, possibly logging it first or whatever. I have talked to Evangeline Township. They don't have any interest in acquiring it at this point or the resources to do it. They'd be glad to, no, I don't even know if they'd be glad to take it, but so they're not interested at this point. But we'd want to coordinate anything that we do out there with them. I did talk to them about the possibility of housing out there as well, kind of as kind of in the, not the landfill area itself, but in the wooded area or something of that nature. And there might be some opportunities there, except that it's a little remote. What's that?
It's just so hard to get to. It's
remote.
It's remote.
Yeah.
Power, hopefully power, internet.
There could be opportunities there. You know that. either selling or something else, for sure.
Yeah. So, I didn't budget any revenue coming in from that. I figured that's a couple years out, if anything.
No, that's good.
They're good? Okay.
Fee schedule is the next behind tab 15. We've already hit a couple parts on it, and we've discussed the areas where the increases were, which with regards to water, wastewater, and the fees going up there 3%, and then also the change in the fee schedule with regards to the marina. We are continuing to have conversations here with regards to the rental rates for this building. We talked about when we adopted that, you know, talking about them further. Generally, they seem to be working out okay at this point. We're not really getting, you know, I heard from Steve Van Dam with regards to renting this room that he thought it was too expensive at $75. Compared to what we're seeing around here, we think it's reasonable. He said he was going to come to one of our city commission meetings probably about 3 meetings ago, and I haven't seen him yet, but that he might come to one of the meetings and say, you know, gee, that's something that we think we should get as a service, as a city taxpayer type of thing. So, but they'd have to rent it someplace else from anybody else. So,
it was a private event.
That was for a business planning event for Van Dam Boat Works. They had some of their training sessions and corporate think meetings or strategy meetings, things of that nature here.
I think that's pretty cheap for corporate.
Yeah.
I think they went to the library and got it for free.
Yeah, it could very well be.
I saw them at a meeting after a city commission.
Is the library charge? Is it free? I thought they charged for public.
Well, they might.
I think they did.
I've never had a meeting.
Because we had some questions come up about, you know, whether we charge for unions and things like that, things of that nature, and that was coming from the library. Mm-hmm. And we had Pat talk to Cindy Place over there, who was raising the questions. And I think there's some confusion with regards to it. And I think people that were going to the library were telling things different than what the library wasn't getting the straight scoop. I think people were kind of providing different information depending on who the recipient was. Mm-hmm. So it was different versions.
I mean, if they got a conference room at Boyne Mountain, it'd be, you know, $500 for an afternoon.
Yeah, I don't know what they charge out there. So, I mean, when we've needed rooms from Boyne Mountain or, you know, something like that, they usually did it as a community service if we were doing it. We had a couple planning meetings for the community and things out there. So, I mean, they've been good to work with for us. The one area that we are looking at is the rate for the training room downstairs on the first floor is $100, and this room is $75. And we're looking at equalizing the rates potentially, and I'm thinking we'll probably just roll the one downstairs to $75, because we have some groups that want to meet, and they're fine paying the $75, but it's like a group that's doing some artwork or something like that, and they want to save the $25. Well, we'd rather keep them downstairs where we're not on the carpeted floor. And if it's the only event happening on a weekend or late night, then we don't have to open the second story. So we might make that adjustment or a recommendation coming to you going forward.
You had other people express interest in weddings?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I haven't really tracked it since we brought it up, but we have some inquiries with regards to it. Birthday parties, showers, things of that nature too. Mm-hmm. So.
Then you get a piano and I'll play for weddings.
Really?
I used to.
Yeah.
So do you want to make that adjustment on these room rates before when this goes in?
We probably would before it comes back to you for final consideration. But we just started kicking it around here. It came up at our staff meeting about a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. So that's the only change at this point. You know, we're not getting a big uproar. Again, it's still early in the process. I think we're going to continue to learn as this coming year, as it works out or not, if we have some issues. So, or as more people encounter it. Other than that, the fee schedule is pretty much the same fee schedule that was had last year with no other increases. Unless you have some questions on that. I mean, we look at things like the ambulance fees and things of that nature. But if we're already at the maximum Medicaid or Medicare reimbursement, it doesn't do us any good to increase our rates because we really won't get anything more in the way of money back. it's kind of like John was talking about before, a funny number. So any questions on the fee schedule? I don't know if there's anything you did want to talk about. Anybody on the CIP, we did kind of go by that. And I mean, I agree that it's, well, as I mentioned before, I think it's improved over what it's been in the last few years, but I think there's still room for improvements. I mean, Dean, if you've got samples of other models you've seen that we should take a look at, I'd love to see them and maybe give me some ideas for doing some research and you're checking with other communities too. If we could jump back, if you're good there, we are back to general services behind tab 2. And I think we are on page 2-3. So I was wrong. We're going a little bit past 6:30.
Mm-hmm. There is.
But actually, we've only got about, we've got less than 10 pages to go. And we'll have covered it all through. 2-3, behind tab 2. General services, obviously the meat and potatoes of our operations, basically handles most of the city hall operations, staffing and things of that that nature, other than the planning department itself. So you'll see what the wages are here. So I'm in there, you're in there, Barb's in there, Shelly's in there.
Jane and Pat.
Yep, we're all in there. So we have some of our people are, you know, on an hourly basis, so there's overtime that's associated with them doing evening meetings and things of that nature, or Barb doing extra time at the marina. You could count the time and Barb's wages to the marina as a general fund contribution to the marina, if you ever want to think of it that way as well, too. So they do get a benefit from the general fund. Again, all the same fringes that you've seen before. I don't know if there's any reason that I need to go through any of those through 719. Office supplies, pretty standard. Repairs and maintenance, just for you know, copiers and things of that nature. Postage, dues, I think most of these are pretty self-explanatory. Vehicle expense, anything that we have to do to maintain the vehicle. As I mentioned before, we haven't sold the Crown Vic yet. That's probably what's going to happen. I did offer that up to Barb. Currently, we use as a courtesy car for the marina the old Blue Thunder truck that we got as a federal surplus a number of years ago. The thing still runs. You can't kill it. But it looks like crud, the headliner's coming down, all that type of stuff. It is good for them when they're basically having to haul fish guts around and things of that nature. It isn't quite as good for when we basically give the keys to somebody to go drive to family fair or something of that nature. So I mentioned it to Barb, you know, because I think last time we put it out for bid, we only got like proposed like for a few hundred bucks for the car when we bid it out like 3 or 4 years ago. Is that long ago? Because Derek was here. It might be. Anyway, that we might just hang on to it at least through the summer and let them use it as a courtesy car out at the marina. And that also gives us a backup in case something happens to the airport. There's really little maintenance that we'll have to do on it. The main cost would be insurance, and then we could see what it rides through during this. And the nice thing about that car, it's a good summertime car. It drives terrible in the winter. People were afraid to drive it for a staff car, so it's nice to have a front-wheel drive. So we'll see how that goes. Education and travel, all of us, you know, opportunities for the staff to go out and get some more education, things of that nature. Advertising and publishing for ordinances, obviously what we need to do in the newspapers. If the commission ever wants to, I mean, right now we're running on a contract with our official notifications go through the Boyne City Gazette. Does that come up anytime soon, Cindy, or is that just a year to year?
I'll have to look at that. I don't think it was a I think it's just in perpetuity until we needed to look at it again.
So we've kept it local, whether it's most effective or whatever. There have been times where the Michigan Municipal League has been pushing for legislation, so you didn't have to publish things in newspapers. You can do it more electronically, where a lot more people are reading these days. So that's something we can keep an eye on. Liability and property insurance, again, for all of our general operating facilities. This is our share of it here. The workers' comp for the employees. Capital equipment outlay. This is where some of that study money I left up here was. It was the best place I had for it, I believe.
And then I did add about $2,000 in there for some type of note.
Yes.
Notebook, iPad, tablet, something for, you know, to purchase five of those for the city commission, and also one for Mike. As long as I'm here, I'm not going to need one because I just use my iPad for those purposes. But you know, hopefully we can kind of work on saving some paper. And
so the goal would be to use those devices
in lieu of getting an agenda. That's the whole.
Switching from a paper agenda to a digital format.
Then I can send a text.
Yeah. Oh, this the county commissioners tried that. It didn't work out very well for them.
Yeah, we call that. We say no.
These fancy issues, of course.
Yeah, I like being paperless.
I do.
And I'm kind of a hybrid with it. I basically get I get an agenda. Mm-hmm. And those are the only two or three pages I get.
Me too.
I take a little bit of notes or comments or something like that, or something I need to follow up on. Good. That's, I'm kind of old school with regards to that. But the rest of it, I mean, you see it with me on my computer when I put it up on the screen and stuff like that. So
yeah, the more paper I get, the more I fear throwing it away. But I know most of it I don't need.
Yeah, the nice thing about the digital format, and it's just really interesting, just how much paper we've saved or how much we've simplified the process from the books that we used to put together originally when I first came.
We made 21 copies of the agenda and the packet. But I wouldn't recommend anything with any type of a data plan on it, obviously, or cellular. I think everyone does have internet. So
you were just going to look into what the options were?
Barb and I will be looking into what the options are. I mean, the easiest, quickest way is to buy six plain old iPads, and then you know you're all compatible. It's all going to be they're easy to use. As far as pulling the data in, as far as pulling the packet in, it's very simple. You save it in iBooks, which is already on your iPad, so and it's right there. You can highlight things with your finger. You don't need the pencil, the Apple Pencil or anything. Keeps it very simple.
What we might probably do is, assuming the commission wants to go to this, get some samples in, let you try them out, see what you like with. She's an Apple user, I'm an Android user, you know, Microsoft, Apple, all that type of stuff. I'm sure either way is going to be pretty dang simple, so.
Mine for $250 Toshiba, 17-inch screen.
We could look at a notebook with a touchscreen. I have a simple notebook at home just so I can do my taxes once a year, and it truly stores all my music. And it was a $330 Asus touchscreen notebook. And
I will tell you that there are times, you know, you see the laptop that I bring to, that's my only city computer. That is not convenient when I do go to meetings elsewhere or something like that, lugging that thing around. I mean, there's times where it's really nice to have a 17-inch screen when you're going to a meeting and having to lug it around. It really doesn't work that way, especially when they chew through the battery too fast.
So it is something we'll be hopefully bringing forward.
It wouldn't work out today. Mine would only go about 5 or 6 hours.
Well, I mean, you'll see me in there with my battery pack or with my adapter for my laptop if I think the city commission meeting is going to go long.
Right. And the nice thing about using some type of a device is you can make your screens bigger, smaller, for whichever.
I've got a tablet like that.
So
you would be sending us our agenda to our iPads.
I could show you how to pull them into iBooks if that's what we choose to use, or whatever type of. I'm sure you could pull it into Kindle or Android. I don't know what they use as far as
a reader type thing.
Other than iBooks.
I mean, she's already doing that already, really, because it's already posted.
I do that all the time. I just pull it from the website. I like my device because I can write on it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of handy. But, it's searchable. I got it right there. I never lose anything. And
I don't care. It's a good idea. Either one.
Okay. Cindy, you want to tell us about elections?
I can. We're going to have three elections this year. One will be paid for by the schools in the ISD, and that's in May, and the ballots actually did arrive today. And then we'll be having a state primary in August and a state election in November. So that's the workers' wages that covers the inspectors you get to come here and see when you vote. Mm-hmm. So we've got a pretty good team. We'll be doing some training this summer for... every other year we do training for the inspectors, so we're always looking for people who are interested in serving.
Then we have auditing that's coming up. This is the last year of our contract with our auditors. They've done an excellent job for us, but it's time to test the waters again and see what the market bears.
Yep.
Possibly some fresh eyes or a sharper bid.
Yeah, I've got two big contracts that I have to work on this fall. So.
Yep. Assessment, we contract out for assessing services. We used to get them provided through Charlevoix County, and they decided they didn't want to do that. It was about 6 years ago now. It's hard to believe. And our contract is up with DC Assessing, and we're looking in cooperation with East Jordan and Charlevoix of going out for bids on that again. So whether they all stay with the contractor or whether we go in different directions, we'll just see how the bids come in. But we're looking to bid that out. And that's the $58,000 contracted services fee that's in there, plus the other things that are associated with doing the roles, and they're going through board review lately.
Yes, tomorrow's my final day.
So, legal fees for our attorney. We typically budget about $60,000 and hope we spend less. We've been working that down.
It's an hourly fee, right?
That is correct. We do not have them. We're with Plunkett and Cooney, we do not have a retainer for their services. They provide services for, as I think I mentioned to you before, for both for labor relations. Laura Dinan's our attorney on that. General consulting or counsel is Jim Murray, who is our attorney. The city went with him before I got here and went to Plunkett and Cooney. They used to use some of the local attorneys here in town, but the commission at that time didn't feel that they have the breadth or the expertise in the various areas of law, and ended up going out for bids and ended up with Plunkett and Cooney. So hopefully we'll be well under that $60,000 figure for both legal fees, for attorney fees, and then also on the street light. That should be coming down with the conversion to LEDs, but I left it in there to be safe. There may be some savings to be made there by a couple $1,000. Costs associated with our fall, our leaf pickup programs that we've got going on. Professional services, this is some of the money that I talked about setting aside for doing some studies with regards to like the North Boyne or the old landfill site. Community promotion, that's basically our newsletters that go out twice a year. And that's where I'd like to include the survey. That's why it's a
little bit
higher there this year. Zoning.
Would that be where the website would go to, Mike, if we were to make an improvement to the website?
I'm not sure where we've taken that from before in the past, Hugh. We'd have to take a look.
Yeah,
professional services.
I would encourage us to refresh our website.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we talked about some of the pages aren't up to date and things of that nature, at least, you know, and we talked about reassigning some of the staff people that could, you know, keep an eye on things more frequently and things of that nature. Barb had been doing that, and there's two pieces there. One, she's just been a lot busier, and two, we need to make sure that all the department heads and everybody that's associated with a web page is looking at it, you know, on a, you know, quarterly basis or every so often to make sure that it doesn't get that it remains current. So we've got good information in.
Well, I guess too, it doesn't probably meet accessibility standards anymore, and it's also not responsive, which means, you know, a lot of people look at websites from their device, not from a computer screen, and our site doesn't do well.
Okay. I don't think I've ever tried that.
That's cost a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Okay, a couple notes on that. Zoning enforcement expenses, this is what Scott talked about before. This is a $16,000 that we put in there with regards to, for this current fiscal year, for the removal of the CHAP building, and we just put $10,000 in case we have something like that come up next year. Then the land acquisition, this is for two pieces of property, $3.2 million for the north, for the open space project, and the other $50,000 was for the North Point acquisition. And that's in this current fiscal year, is what our anticipated target for the open space is. Next one, environmental. That's for, we have to do regular sampling up at the landfill just to make sure, you know, track what's going on. There's a bunch of wells that the state put down there for sampling at that location. Museum, basically looking at just a little seed money to keep the current group going through that process. I'm sure that one will be subject to some discussion as we go forward through the year. Sidewalk improvements, basically there aren't any specific projects that are planned at this point. That's basically our typical amount that we put in there in case we wanted to build some sidewalks. The large amount a couple years ago is the Safe Routes to School project.
Someone mentioned that a sidewalk inventory would be a good tool that we don't currently have.
I think we really do. It's a few years old. Scott has that all on a website or on a map that basically lists, you know, what conditions we have, where the sidewalks are. So I'd have to go back and check that. I want to say it's like 2 or 3 years old.
Well, I think they did that when they did Lincoln Street to West Lincoln. They had all that. And I think they got repaired last year.
Where's that at, Ron?
West Lincoln Street. Where the church is.
Mm-hmm.
South or North Lake.
That would have been part of the Safe Routes to School program. Because there was a route that went along Lincoln Street that went up to Division Douglas Street.
From, yeah, point of Douglas Street to part to Lake Street.
Yeah, that would have been part of the Safe Routes to School project. We created a corridor that basically took them from my subdivision all the way across town to Boyne Avenue. Make sure we had a complete corridor through there. So that would have been shown in the prior year 2017 figures. Contingency, taxes for the retiree stipend. Again, we provide retirees $300 a year holiday bonus. So that's we're not required to do that. That's something that we've always done and kind of above and beyond. Little money budgeted aside in case we have any refunds from the tax tribunal. 425 township reimbursement, that's basically the money that we need to pay back to Boyne Valley Township for the property that we acquired in the second phase of the business park. So that covers their share of the taxes that we receive on that. Our costs with regards to post-retirement health insurance, again, for that stipend that we talked about for the $265 maximum per month for up to 10 years for our retirees. And we have a number of those folks that have that at this point, but that'll be a decreasing number going forward. And then the retiree stipend, which is that $300 I talked about earlier. And stop me if you need to anywhere along. Then we have all the transfers out that we talked about. As we've talked about these various funds, whether it's marina, cemetery, ambulance, airport, fire department, rubbish, major and local streets. The most significant ones of those are the major and local streets contributions that go out. So all in all, general fund takes a little over $1.1 million and spreads it out to these different groups as in the numbers that are shown above with regards to that. And that basically, after the transfers out, it gets us back to where we anticipate starting with our fund balance this year at $1.7 million, and then where we plan on ending this coming fiscal year at just a little over $1.5 million with regards to fund balance. And as I mentioned before, I think that's about a 38% fund balance.
So the $850,000 or $900,000 is going to come out of the $17,737,000?
What money is coming out, Ron?
For the open space.
It'll come out of the current 2018 figure of $2.329 million.
Okay.
It's not over and above that. That's including that.
Okay.
That's why it's showing a deficit of almost $600,000 in this current fiscal year. Again, that all anticipates that the sale takes place before May 1st. So I'm crossing my fingers, and I'm not promising anything because it's outside of our control.
Mm-hmm.
And we call the state probably every couple weeks just to make sure that they know that we're asking about them. We try and bug them enough so that they'll move it forward, but not too much where they get hacked off at us and just want to drag their feet. So, because I would really like to get Bob and Mike cashed out and, you know, let them move on to their other projects, whatever they may be. Now I think we've made a complete pass through everything. And it was 28 minutes later than my estimate. So what other questions or comments or suggestions do you have with regards to the budget? Do you want to absorb about this, think about it, get back together again on it some point?
Well, give us a timeline. What's next?
We have the backup budget review session penciled in if we wanted to do something on Thursday. I haven't heard anything specific come up that I don't know if it warrants it, but we could. That is on our schedule. This comes back for the commission's consideration at our April 10th meeting.
April 10th meeting, yes.
We'd have a public hearing at that time. The budget for fiscal year ending 2019 would be up to the city commission to consider for adoption. We would go through a number of resolutions for the taxes that we're going to levy, the appropriations that we're making for the fee schedule, things of that nature.
The millage rates.
Yep.
I do need 10 days prior to that meeting to be able to publish that public hearing.
Yep. And you need the numbers at that point?
I need
Does it call for
the millage rates, and yeah, we.
And it sounds like the millage rate is pretty well. I haven't heard any.
But we do need
consensus
the numbers.
On that. And,
well, I'm trying to picture that.
What's in the ad?
Yeah. Final numbers at the very end.
So on the 10th, it would be the public hearing, and then the budget would be probably approved.
Yes.
On that day.
That day?
I won't be at that meeting.
Okay. And then what'll happen at the meeting on the 24th is we take a final look at the current year's fiscal year budget.
And make the adjustments.
Any adjustments, final adjustments for... Basically, this column gets adopted on the... Proposed to get adopted on the 10th. This column back here, going back to the end of this fiscal year, we do on the 24th, 7 days before our... Well, 6 days before our fiscal year ends.
Well, I think the budget looks fine. I don't have any further questions on it. Looking forward to that fiscal, that finance, that forecasting tool, because this year we didn't make any difficult decisions.
And no, we've talked about a lot of things that we need to.
Right.
Yes.
But you know, at some point, you know, we need to make some difficult decisions. It's in some respects hard to put it off, but I can certainly understand the value in making sure that we know, have a really good forecast before we have to make those refinements and adjustments or make some decisions about things we're going to do or not going to do.
I think it'd be helpful to also be working our way through our goal setting process and possibly a community survey to help populate some of these things that we might want to include or not include in the budget going forward as well too. You know, see what the community's priorities are and saying, you know, whatever. They want to see, you know, the marina expanded. That's probably not a great example. Or they want to see sidewalks all over town or whatever the situation is. You know, we could build some of those or forecast models with regards to those things too. So.
No, I agree. It's a good process, and you heard concerns that we had today. And you know, we took notes all day, and you can come back to us with specific things. But we have.
Well, I want to.
What you just said. We have a game plan that we can use as tools. And that's the survey, and that's the goal sessions, and that's the forecast. And yeah, we can. It just makes us more transparent over the process and more organized to make legitimate decisions.
And again, and those of you who've been through this process with, you know, for a number of years now, this is a budget. I continue to say it's a living, breathing document. If something changes along the way, we can amend this budget at any time. We do have some flexibility. We do have money in the fund balance if something came up, you know, an emergency came up, if a tornado came through town, or we had a major failure of something or whatever. I think we're pretty well protected for the time being. My concern is more long-term to make sure that we're planning ahead as best we can.
Yeah, it also looks conservative as the past years were. It seems we're in a pretty good habit of underspending the budget just because they built a budget under the kind of worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
So that helps us too.
And that's generally the trend. I'm never going to say that that's guaranteed from year to year.
Sure.
So, and if something comes up, and as we're looking at making these major expenditures out of here for things that are new and different, they come back to the commission again as well too. So I don't want you to think that, you know, this is the only chance to change something or the only chance to discuss or approve something. You know, if we're talking about, you know, laptop computers as a small thing, that'll be coming back to the city commission. If we're talking about our tree trimming or removal program, that'll be coming back to the commission, or acquisitions or any of this type of stuff. You know, community survey and, you know, how do we move forward with regards to getting community input.
And you're going to be gone at the next meeting, mm-hmm. And you're going to be gone at the meeting after that?
No, I'm going to be gone. I'm gone on the 20. I'm gone at Tuesday's meeting.
Okay.
I'll be leaving on Friday for spring break with the family. We're heading to D.C. and then to Florida, so I'll be back on the April 2nd. School starts on the 3rd. So I'll miss Tuesday's meeting. There really isn't too much that's on the agenda at this point. I know we do have the one addition of the street by the North Boeing DPW facility that we want to get on the Act 51 funds, because that'll get us a little bit more road revenue coming in. But we'll work on some. I've asked the people to keep it light, so. So I won't be there at that one, then you won't be there on the 10th.
Or the next one as well. I'm going to be gone too.
Okay. I thought you mentioned that you might be gone for a couple.
Yeah.
So.
And hopefully I'll be back for the next one.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously, well, it depends if you like where you go.
Yeah, I know.
I'd forgotten that Dean was always bringing up his agendas electronically, because I asked him if he wants us to hold his agenda, and his agenda is available wherever he had access to the internet, so.
And I did look at it, and I listened to the recording.
Yeah, you mentioned how clear it came in, that little device.
Very clear. It was great. I could follow every word.
$70 at Radio Shack.
$70. So be careful about
that. Just reminds me, occasionally I have a side chat with Cindy, and I can't ever do that.
Right. Does that work really well?
Yes.
Because I've had people asking me if I want to do depositions, and I'd have to have something to record with. Would that be a good thing?
So, are we ready to adjourn?
It all depends if you are.
I am. And the game started. You can listen to it. You can listen to Fitzpatrick and Tom Clemens at 103.2 or 102.3.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Yes. I just mentioned that.
Yeah, it's a score.
Tomorrow's general session begins at 8:30.
8:30. So we should.
13
the
hours from now.
Sessions begin at 10:45.
8:30.
In the car and go.
If you want to adjourn, I can.
The general session begins at 8:30.
So at 7:04, I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?